Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So glad you're here with us. Thanks for being with us. It means a lot to us, and great show for you today. Second hour, Carlo will be here, and we're going to talk about confession. This hour, oh, this is always a treat. We've got Steve Ray with us, and we're going to talk about raising Catholic kids. So if you'd like to talk with Steve Ray about raising Catholic kids, go ahead and dial now, 888-318-7884. Steve Ray, of course, the author of several books and a producer of multimedia stuff and known for his travels around the world and about to go to Oberammergau, he was just telling me before we went on the air. But today we'll focus on Steve's primary vocation, which is as a husband and father, and lots of Catholic young people because of that. Steve Ray, welcome.
I always enjoy these shows together with you.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Steve. So, well, first of all, Oberammergau, did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay. And tell people what that is and why you're going there.
Oberammergau, Germany, they have a passion play. They do it every 10 years, but it got postponed in 2020. So we got a group going in June and another group going in August. We still have some seats on the August trip, but this June one sold out. So we're going to go all through southern Germany, hit Dachau. That's always that's the priest camp where priests were killed in the concentration camp. So we're going to see Munich and the art museums there, and then we're going to go through Germany, down into Switzerland, go across the Alps, stop in Zurich for a day or two, and St. Gallen, and then we're going to cross the Alps again and go down into Italy to Milan for 2 days. We even got tickets to see the Da Vinci Last Supper, which is really
wow,
a rare thing to do. And then we're going from there down to Lanciano for the Eucharistic Miracle and Montepello for the Facecloth of Christ, and then 4 days in Rome.
That is an amazing tour. That is fantastic. You shouldn't just say I'm going to Oberammergau. That's like the beginning of a fantastic tour. I'm so glad you're traveling again. I know you love it, and I know that these pilgrimages you do. I mean, it's Steve Ray, so you're going to get the gospel, but then you get all this other stuff too. All this knowledge that you've built up over the years.
Yep, and it's going to be fun. Teresa Tomeo is going to join us. See, I invited her to come, and we've got a great priest named Father Dan Good. He's one of my favorite priests for pilgrimages, and he's a riot. So we're really going to have a good time.
Wonderful.
And when I get home from that, we go back again, and I got 3 trips to Italy. To Israel still this year. They're pretty much sold out. And then St. Paul Cruise, and we have a pilgrimage through Wisconsin and putting on a conference there called Love Being Catholic with Father Chris Alar and Father Don Calloway are coming to speak at my conference there. So we're busy.
Yeah, you are kind of busy, Steve, but you always come across that way. There's no moss growing on Steve Ray. But so,
no.
You know what? But that brings us to what we wanted to talk about raising Catholic children. I did not know that you have a PhD. I've never referred to you as Dr. Steve Ray, and I apologize.
Yeah, I don't have the traditional PhD, but I have one that I came up with today for the show, because we're talking about being married and raising Catholic kids and being a family. So my PhD is proud husband and dad.
Yeah. And you have how many kids?
I have 4 kids and 4 great spouses for those kids and 19 grandkids.
Well, God bless them all. I've seen the photos of the family get-togethers and all that. It's just a beautiful family, and congratulations on it. But I got to tell you, I think some people will say, Steve, it's getting harder and harder. It's even it's not by a century, it's by year now. It gets harder to raise Catholic kids.
Yes, I was talking to Al Cresta earlier today. I'm on the board of Ave Maria Radio, and we had a board meeting, and we were talking about raising kids today. And Al Cresta and I, we became best friends in 1983. Take that back. That's a long time ago. And both of us were relatively newly married and had little kids. And we made a plan. We really discussed it. And we said, let's do an experiment. Let's raise radical families. Let's raise rebels for Christ. Let's raise families that are countercultural. And we had no idea at the time, Cy, what was going to happen to our culture as it has gotten so much worse. But we decided we were going to do that. We were going to raise radical kids in a very countercultural way, to be intentional disciples of Jesus Christ and to put him first. And you know, it worked. Al and I were talking today. He's got 18 grandkids, and his kids are very loyal to Christ and the church, and mine too. And I said to him, Al, it worked. It worked. We did it. We were just kind of patting each other on the back. But it doesn't come automatically, Si. We'll talk about that, too, for families that have failed to and have kids that have left the faith and feel like they're a failure and how we can do with that, handle that, too.
Yeah.
But it's just exciting that it did happen, but it doesn't happen automatically. It takes a lot of work and forethought.
The number is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk with Steve Ray, we're talking about raising Catholic kids today, 888-318-7884. So what do you say to the people who kind of just, you know, so many of us, we have kids where we go, I don't know what happened. I lost that one, or that one didn't get the message somehow. And many, many parents feel very guilty about this, Steve.
They do. And, they'll say, well, you were lucky, and I feel bad even sometimes talking about it with people or at a conference about our family, because the number one question or comment I get at conferences and on things like even on this shows like this is, my kids left the faith. What did I do wrong? What can I do now? And I my heart breaks for them, and I never want to talk about my situation in a way that makes other people feel bad. But what I would say is a number of things. Number one is, many people had no idea. They weren't trained. We know nobody has to go to get a PhD in raising a family. You get married. A lot of us married when we're young. Nobody really sat down and talked to our generation anyway about what to do. You watch TV and movies, and you get your ideas from them. And, you know, it's romance, and you fall in love, and you have a family. But many of us were not catechized. We didn't go to classes about how to get married and how to raise kids, and it was never discussed, and people don't talk about it that much. And so a lot of times families had other priorities. Dads worked all the time, or moms worked out of the house, and they didn't know they were doing anything that was going to have an impact later. Or they let television become the babysitter for their kids. But whatever the reasons were, what I say to people today is, don't beat yourself up over it. There's nothing you can do about what happened. Don't beat yourself up and go into a spiral or a depression because you failed to be successful with the kids, all of them. But what you do is, you remember, and this may sound trite, but today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your relationship with your kids, no matter how broken it is, how good it is, or how broken it is. And I'd like to tell people, and I think it's had a good response, is to say, today is the first day of the rest of my life with my kids. And they're maybe gone. They may have left the faith. They may have left me. I don't know what the situation is. Everybody's different. But today, you're going to start over again. You're not going to beat yourself up for the past. Go to confession, clear your conscience, start over again. Today's start over. It's a brand new day. And I always encourage people, if you go talk to your kids, that's one way to do it. But sometimes there's too much emotion, too much baggage, too much chance of volatile discussions coming up or accusations being made.
Right.
Or sit down and write them a letter. Take a month to write the letter if you need to. It doesn't have to be long. Tell them what you love them. Tell them that you are sorry for things that you may not have done good in the past. Say, I dropped the ball. I didn't have my focus right. I didn't do this or that. And I want to apologize. You know, an apology goes a long way with kids, because parents tend to be, you know, to put their heels in, and they don't want to say they're sorry to their kids. I learned early on, say you're sorry to your kids every time you can. My dad says, learn to apologize quickly, because it makes your life so much easier. And write them a letter. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them where you think you dropped the ball. Tell them you want to start over again. Tell them you love them exactly where they are, that you're not writing this to try and change them or to try and lasso them and drag them back into the church, but you're writing to them because you love them. You're my kid. I dropped the ball. I want to admit I dropped the ball. I want you to forgive me, and let's start over again, just being friends. I accept you for who you are and where you are, and I love you, and I want to start over again and make it a better relationship. That's a good starting place, I think, for parents who, and I wrote an article for Catholic Answers Magazine. It's on your website, and it has helped probably more people than anything I've ever written. It's called 6 Rules for Dealing with Non-Catholic Family and Friends. And it's on your website.
Yeah.
It's on your, go to the magazines and look for that article, 6 Rules. And it has helped more people than anything I think I've ever written.
You're welcome to call Steve Ray. We're talking about raising Catholic kids. 888-318-7884 is the number. We have to take a quick break, so we'll continue our conversation and take your calls for Steve right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and Steve Ray, our guest this hour. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here with us. This hour, something that we get asked all the time. As a matter of fact, I think anybody in Catholic media will tell you among the most common things you hear are, A, what happened to my kids? I did everything I could to raise them Catholic. And B, I've got these young kids now. How do I make sure that I raise them in a way that will invite them into the Catholic Church and give them every possibility of living and growing within the Church? And so Steve has raised 4 kids of his own. He and his wife have 13 grandkids, and he has a PhD in being, what did he say, a proud husband and father. That's his PhD, proud husband and father. So if you have questions for Steve about raising Catholic kids, 888-318-7884 is the number. Before I go to the phones, however, I do want to invite you to come to the Catholic Answers National Conference, September. Last week of September, every year, we do our national conference here at the Hyatt in La Jolla, California, and you are invited. It's really a beautiful time. We often describe it as the biggest Catholic party of the year, but it's a Catholic party because it's rooted in all those things that bring real joy to life. We have daily mass. There's confessions available. You have sit around, have a conversation with the speakers and the apologists, the staff members, the bishops who will be there. There's all kinds of social events and mixers and all that. And we've got music this year. We got for the masses and for Saturday night, we've got a group called Floriani, men's vocal ensemble, beautiful chant, Latin music. It's wonderful. So, and when I say Latin music, I'm not talking about like Ricky Martin or mariachi. Although, could we get some mariachi now? Now that I thought about it, but I mean Latin chant and all that beautiful music from the long history of the Catholic Church. So if you want to come to the conference, we'd love to have you there so much that we'll give you $50 off if you sign up right now for your ticket. You just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. You put in the promo code EARLY and you get $50 off any ticket you buy. CatholicAnswersConference.com. I hope we'll see you there last weekend of September. In beautiful, sunny San Diego. Steve Ray, thanks for being back with us. Lots of folks on the line, but I got a couple things I want to ask you before I go to them. And if you don't mind, maybe just say something about family culture as part of how you raise these Catholic kids. Because I hear this a lot, and I remember even little things in my house, like, you know, we will always pray before meals, and the neighborhood kids got in the habit of praying before meals with us. And I thought it was even the kids are evangelizing now, inviting kids into the home. But those kind of rituals are important in a family.
I'd say Catholic culture is the whole element of raising Catholic kids and keeping them Catholic. It's who are you as a family? That's the question I would ask. If somebody says to me, what are you, Steve? They're asking what my career is. They're yeah. asking me to say, oh, I lead pilgrimages, or I'm a businessman or something. So what are you, Steve? I said, my answer is I'm a Catholic. Well, I don't mean what religion are you? What are you? I said, well, that's exactly what I am. First thing in life, my first identity is I'm a Catholic. Second one is I'm a dad and a husband.
Yeah.
Everything else comes second. Oh, you want to know how I make a living? That's a different question. That's not who I am or what I am or what I do.
Right.
So this, if that's not your mentality, you're going to have a hard time raising Catholic kids, especially in our culture today, because the kids that you have to have an exciting Catholic family. So our family, even when we were evangelical Protestants, I've only been Catholic 28 years as of this Pentecost. We're 28 years, and last Sunday was our anniversary.
Congratulations, Steve.
And I was Protestant until I was 39, almost 40 years old, and we already had kids. My oldest daughter was 16, and my son was 13. But even as evangelicals, my wife and I, when we got married, we had a business plan. We actually said we're going to have a business plan, and it was 2 points. Number one, we were going to prove to the world that a man and a woman could stay married for a lifetime with Jesus Christ as the center of their family, and that we would stay united in love with one another and prove to the world it could be done, a monogamous relationship of a man and a wife. Second platform, we were going to raise kids that had Jesus Christ first in their life, and my wife and I had to be the example because kids will love what their parents love. We're going to raise kids that love Jesus Christ and lived a moral life as well. And it worked. But it didn't work because it just happened. It worked because we sometimes stayed up until 3 or 4 in the morning, Janet and I, and said, you know what? The kids are now reached a new level. They're teenagers now. They're not young. How are we going to deal with this issue? How are we going to deal with that issue? And we would sit down and plan this sometimes until 3 in the morning. We would read books. James Dobson was our kind of our Bible go-to guy, Focus on the Family when we were evangelicals.
Yeah, right.
And I have to say that his advice and his books, I had them all on my table. My wife and I would read those things till 3 or 4 in the morning sometimes, saying, okay, now how are we going to do this and do that? But we always made Jesus Christ first in our life. That's what we talked about at the kitchen table. When we had Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door, my wife would say, oh, we'd love to have a Bible study with you. And guess what? Next Tuesday, they came over and they wanted to talk. And the kids wanted to be right there and listen to that because it was going to be feisty and they could hear Dad arguing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. But another thing I would say is we never had television in our home. I was raised without a television. My dad read me books in the evening. My kids were raised without television. We read stories. We did things together. We made butterfly collections. We talked to Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons that came to the door. We spent time together as a family. We taught them how to pray. We did Bible studies together. And now my grandkids don't have television. All 19 of my grandchildren do not have television, and they do not have iPhones or iPads. They read books together, and they do things fun together, but they don't. I would say the best thing that a family could do today, a Catholic family, is get rid of the television. Get that thing out of the house. Go out and have a ceremonial smashing party with that thing. Now, we have a television, but it's not hooked to anything. It's hooked to a DVD player where we watch I Love Lucy when the grandkids come over, or Andy Griffith, or these fun movies, you know, fun moral building movies of heroes and great stories and stories of the saints. But get rid of the television, the cable television and all of that stuff. Get rid of it. It damages families. And the kids going around with an iPhone all the time. I watch families at restaurants. Everybody in the rest, all the family, they're not talking. They're all on these things doing this. Get rid of that stuff. Parents, get rid of it. You can't get rid of it, but don't bring it to the table. Don't bring it.
Yeah, that's
make eye contact with your kids, and homeschooling. We homeschooled our kids. Not everybody can do that, but the parents are still the primary educators of their family, even if they go to Catholic schools. When you sit down for dinner, what did you learn today? Let's talk about it. What you learned today?
Right.
And discuss it. Maybe they're being taught wrong. You need to teach them how to argue back in class. But if your culture is this way, and the whole, okay. One last thing I'd say. We viewed our family as a masterpiece of art. And I pictured it on the wall. And every day we're painting this painting, and we make a mistake, we fix it. And this is our family portrait that we're making. I want our kids to be involved in making the portrait. What the parents love, the kids will love. This is our family. This is our club. Nobody else can join this club. The only way you can get into this club is to be born into it. Do you realize how lucky you are to be part of this club? We're fun. We're Catholic. We love it, and we love you. Don't ever do anything stupid and get kicked out of this club. And all the kids throughout their whole life said they realized that being part of this family was very important and valuable to them. And when we get to heaven, I want that painting that we're working on, even to this day now, grandkids, I want that masterpiece of painting to be hanging in the halls of heaven. And I want God to go over and look, point at it and say, that's the way I wanted it to be. Now, if Praise Catholic God. Families have this mentality about the family, they're going to have a whole lot better success with their kids than a lot of them have.
The number is 888-318-7884. We start with Lindsay in Jack, Alabama, watching on YouTube. Is that supposed to be Jackson, Alabama? Or I don't know. Did we abbreviate? Lindsay?
No.
You're in Jack, Alabama?
Hi. Yeah, Jack, Alabama. Oh. That's in between Enterprise and Troy.
Oh, over there in that part. Okay, I gotcha. Go ahead with your
Way
question.
Down south.
Go ahead with your question for Steve.
Yeah, hi, Steve.
Hello.
Long, long time listener. I so appreciate your work. And I wanted to say that me and my husband are a Protestant Catholic marriage. And I was wondering, number one, there aren't a whole lot of resources for Protestant Catholic relationships, and do you have any parenting advice for Protestant Catholic marriages?
I would say read the article that I have on Catholic Answers website. It's in that you go to their magazine, and it's one of those articles. Just type in six rules and it should come up. What I would say is that you're already way ahead of the game of most parents. You already have a husband who's a Christian. You already have a relationship. Yep. I'm assuming you and him love each other and you get along good and you don't argue about the differences between Catholic and Protestant, because that's not going to get you anywhere by arguing. What I would do is I would sit down with my spouse, whichever who's Catholic or Protestant, and I say, look, we got a battle on our hands. We're in the middle of a war. And you and I may not agree on everything as far as ecclesiology or churches or sacraments and this kind of thing, but we do love each other and we love our family. Therefore, we're in this war together. And the war is to keep our kids Christian and to keep them moral and to see them someday get married and have kids that are the same. So let's set aside our differences. What do we have in common? We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in this. We believe in the Bible. We believe that the husband is the head of the home. Now, I get in trouble by saying that, but we always had that mentality in our home, that I was the head of the home and my wife was happy. But the head of the home means that I'm the one that lays my life down, because it means that it's Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? By laying his life down for her. Every thought in Christ's mind was for the bride. And that's the way I always lived with my wife. She said, you're the head of the home, and I want to respect and follow your lead. But I always viewed that as, then that forced me to lay my life down for her, in a sense. But I would say, sit down with your spouse and say, we're in a battle together, and I want to be your fellow warrior. And the battle is to keep our kids Christian and to keep them moral and to keep them out of all of the crap. I could think of other words, but it's a family-friendly show here. All the other crap that is trying to get our kids. How can you and I learn to pray together, get the kids involved, do Bible studies together, and emphasize what we have in common? Emphasize what we do together. And maybe go to, you know, you got different churches you go to or something, but at least make an effort to do that and let the kids know that there's a unity between you.
Right. And it's wonderful because we're all musicians. I've got a one-year-old and a two-year-old, and they sing no matter what. My one-year-old doesn't even know words, and he still sings songs.
See, that's a beautiful thing that you have in common. It's a family culture. And you can sing wonderful songs together about the Lord and about family and great you know, great stuff. Heroes. Read books about heroes and saints and, you know, C.S. Lewis. He's a Protestant, but boy, are his books ever good. And they're great. We read those to our kids. And Little House on the Prairie. You know, things like that that you read together.
Oh, yeah, we watch that every night.
Read the books together and get the kids and get them on your lap. My dad used to spend the evenings with us, and he would read a book, and he'd have me under one arm and my brother on the other arm and the other kid laying at his feet. And it was a time where the family loved and cuddled, and you never wanted to lose that bond of the family. Get your husband in there, read out loud to the kids too. And just always show great love and respect for him and praise him for being the father of your children. And every time he does something good, thank him for it. And work towards that great family Christian culture together.
Thanks, Lindsay. Right back with more with Steve Ray.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at shop.catholic.com or pick it up at a good Catholic bookstore.
In These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes, best-selling author Rod Bennett gives a riveting re-examination of gospel events from the ground-floor perspective of Christ's own hand-picked successors. In his trademark storytelling style, Bennett movingly depicts what it was like for the apostles to witness Jesus' teaching and miracles up close. Why did he call them, and what did he intend for them to do? Order your copy of These 12 today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Steve Ray is our guest this hour, and we're talking about raising Catholic kids. And, oh, man, this is something that we probably should do one of these every week because there's just so many challenges to raising Catholic kids. I'll tell you what, two things that have stood out to me, Steve, was that it was so intentional. And I know this is the case with my parents as well. There was a kind of intentional, how are we going to do this? And raise Catholic kids. And so, that I mean, not everybody has the benefit of that kind of partner, you know, to team up with. But that really stood out to me, that when young people get married, that this should be part of the discussion. How are we going to do this?
And yes, absolutely.
The other thing that really stood out with me is they don't need that television. They just don't need that television.
In fact, it's a danger. It's a detriment.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go to Elliot in Covington, Louisiana, listening on WQNO. We're glad to have you, Elliot. Go ahead with your question for Steve Ray.
Hey, hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I put the radio on, didn't realize there was a topic. So my question's a little different for Steve, and that is I've heard talks that you've given before from some of your pilgrimages out near the Golan Heights, Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, and I'm looking for more reading material on topics such as that. You present it in a way that I've not heard presented before. For example, when the giant pool near the Temple of Pan was so deep, they thought it was the gateway to Hades. And so, I'm looking for more depth.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
I got an answer for you. It's not necessarily reading, but, and I toot my own horn because you asked me, but I have done a 9-part documentary series called The Footprints of God, The Story of Salvation History from Abraham to Augustine. And this is just the one I have on St. Paul. I'm going to get it lined up here. And this is 90 minutes. I filmed it in 6 countries following the life of St. Paul. I've also got Abraham. We filmed it in Iraq and in Jordan and Palestinian areas. We've got Mary, Jesus, David, and Solomon, all that stuff that you've heard me talk about. I go there on location and filmed it all, documentaries. I ride, fall off horses, wrestle snakes, fall in the mud. I have a lot of fun, and kids like it too. So this is actually, it fits our topic because families, a lot of families tell me that the kids, especially when they get rid of television, they watch these movies together, and they're very fun to watch. I mean, I fall off a horse in St. Paul, and I came down the wall in a basket in Damascus. And I'm floating on driftwood in the Mediterranean Sea. And even in this one, a snake bites me because on the island of Malta, Paul was getting and a snake. And I actually had a snake and I had the snake bite me right on the TV, you know. So these are fun. And there's study guides that go with them. The whole study of the Bible that you're talking about, Pan and the cave. I'm there in the one on Peter. I take you there and show it all to you. So and these are great for families, too, and use the study guides. And kids love them because I'm kind of crazy, you know. People say you sure are you're corny a little bit there. Yeah, yeah, but having the kids fun. Love it.
But he can get that at CatholicConvert.com, your website.
Yep, and I think you have them also at Catholic in your store.
Sure.
Your store
at shop.catholic.com.
This is a good resource for families. Things to do together to learn the Bible and the Catholic faith.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you say more and more year by year, there's a kind of degrading of the secular media. But at the same time, more and more year by year, there's more and more good material available as well if you'll go out and find it.
Yep, absolutely. So this is called the Footprints of God series. I have them on my website. I know they're on the Catholic store at Catholic.com too.
Thanks, Elliot. I'm going to go down to Texas now. Lena in Texas. Watching on YouTube. Go ahead, Lena, with your question.
Hi. So mine is kind of a little bit to elaborate on. My general question is, how do you deal with extended family who is very anti-Catholic or maybe goes against, like, the morals that you're trying to create, like, you know, within your own immediate family?
Right.
So I'll give a little bit of background. So my husband, he is a convert. He was born and raised Southern Baptist, and it was kind of a point of conflict for us when we were dating and even when we got married. He became Catholic in Easter of 2019. So immediately after that, though, we kind of ran into a bit of a dilemma with one of our children and his dad. Our child told us basically that my father-in-law had, you know, touched him inappropriately, and there was a whole CPS case and all that, and I won't get into all that, but the point of that is we've cut off contact with my father-in-law, and there's a background there, the anti-Catholic stuff, and that part also, and my husband and I have been praying a lot, you know, the last 3 years since this has happened. We haven't, you know, contacted him since then, and there's been a lot of, like, division and stuff within his own family, my husband's family, with this, and we've just been very prayerful and trying to, you know, like, use the sacraments, adoration, church to really deal with this and process, like, everything that's been going on. And my question, I guess, is, like, how do you deal with these things, like, as a Catholic family, trying to protect your children from, like, the anti-Catholic and divisive spirit, and then, like, now that kind of thing?
Okay.
Like, Lena, what is the advice to a Catholic parent?
Yeah. Sure. Thanks, Lena.
I would suggest get the article I wrote, 6 Rules for Dealing with Non-Catholic Family and Friends. That's on Catholic.com, on their website. But just a practical. Protecting your kids is number one. And my family, we also kind of like a pie divided into 3 sections. Now there's a Catholic section, a fundamentalist Protestant section, and a pagan section. And so, and it has caused some very interesting Christmases and Easters and so on. So I'm very well aware of that. We've also, in my extended family, had some sexual abuse too. Not in my family, but in my extended family, there was. And I saw how that ruined a guy's life. And it wasn't Catholic. It was with a married Baptist deacon, by the way, who sodomized this relative. So I have experience with that as well. in our extended family. But I would say that the number one is to protect your kids. And the best way you can talk to them, talk to the kids, be real with them. Don't hide things with them. I always treated my children as our equals. I treated them as intelligent human beings who were my equals. I remember my daughter was, I heard my daughter, she's 40 years old now, explaining to another set of parents why she never got into drugs and rock and roll, that culture, even though when she was growing up, it was big time. We did homeschooling, but that didn't stop the neighborhood kids and everything else from influencing her. She said, the thing that changed everything for me that made me never want to get in that culture is my dad took me to a rock concert when I was 8 years old. I had the youngest date, by the way, Cy, at that rock concert. My daughter was 8 years old, and people were looking at me like, what in the world is this guy doing? But I took her there for a reason, and we didn't get home until 3 a.m. because I wanted her to see the lifestyle and the culture of these people at this rock concert. And when we walked out, they were puking in the parking lot. They were sick. They were from drugs and alcohol. And she said, my dad took me to see all of that. And from that point on, I had no interest in that lifestyle whatsoever. Now, in other words, I didn't just tell her to be afraid of it. I went with her. I talked to her. We got involved in doing things like this as a family. And some people say, well, that's kind of crazy. But another example, my daughter heard about this heavy rock metal band. She said, Dad, you know, my friends down the road to have this album. And she said, do you think I could get one? And I said, sure, let's go. We went down. Back in those days, it was called Harmony House. And we went and bought the album. And we brought it back. And she handed it to me. I said, why are you handing it to me? She said, well, aren't you going to listen to it and see if it's okay for me? I said, no, I would rather you listen to it and let me know whether you think it's okay for you. She took it up to the record player. An hour later, she came back and handed me the record back. She said, Dad, I don't think this is something that I should be listening to. Now, why did I do it that way? Because I wanted to teach my kids not to be afraid of things or to shelter them from things. I wanted them to learn how to think about things, how to think and make decisions on what is right and wrong, what is good and bad, where will this lead me? And I made my kids think this way. I asked them lots of questions, and I would always ask them tough questions to get them to think about things. And so now my kids are all teaching their kids how to think that way. Now, for example, you go through the cash register at the grocery store, and you've got all these Cosmopolitan and all these magazines with the low cleavage and all of this. And I'd say to my daughters, do you think that's a real woman? Well, Dad, her picture's there. Yeah, but do you realize how long they took to get makeup on that girl to look like that? And then they put her in a computer and they touched it all up. They made her cleavage a little deep. They made her eyebrows better. There's no girl in the world that looks like that. And you, I don't want you to ever look at that girl in that magazine and compare yourself to her because she's not real. You're beautiful. She's not. She's fake. Just guess what she looks like in the morning when she wakes up. She's probably scary looking. Well, I taught my kids to argue with commercials, to argue with magazine covers, to argue with these things, to think through them. And so in dealing with family culture like that, I think that kids are number one to protect. But my whole point of coming back to this is talk to them about what's right and wrong. Talk to them about why you don't see your family. Maybe over time, there's the old saying, time heals old wounds. Maybe there comes a time where you write a letter and say the family, you know, it's been a while since we contacted, and we know that water is thicker than blood, and we would like to consider reestablishing. You know, that's completely up to you. I don't know the dynamics of your family, but I think sometimes for kids' sake, it's good to have relations with family, even if they're not the best of relations, at least to have those relations for the continuity of family. But then again, I would never put my kids in a situation where they're going to be damaged.
Lena, God bless you. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry that your family went through that, and many blessings
to horrible.
You. You know what, Lena, I'd like to send you a little book we have here. It would be helpful as you endeavor with your husband to raise a Catholic family. It's called The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. I always like these books as like my dad used to just leave stuff around that we'd find, you know, just leave it around. Yeah. You know, so leave it around. Maybe one of them will find it and it'll help. But thanks, Lena. We have to take our break. We'll be right back with more Raising Catholic Kids with Steve Ray on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Thank you for all the work that you've done. I work at it and then it's like, you know, I stop and then I start and then I stop. You've done so much and thank you for everything you do. And thank you, EWTN. I mean, I had a line that I could spread at work today from what I heard this morning on EWTN, that it took a woman to put Jesus on the earth.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Steve Ray, our guest. If you ever want to get Steve's material, like Steve has so much stuff with the books and the videos and the speaking and the wonderful pilgrimages, many to the Holy Land, but to other places as well, in Europe, in the Americas, in Asia. Steve will take you on a pilgrimage. If there's a Catholic church there, he'll find a way to get you on a pilgrimage to it, and there'll be a priest to hear your confession too. And you can get all of that at CatholicConvert.com. That's where you can come in contact with all of Steve's stuff. CatholicConvert.com. This hour, kind of a special conversation with Steve, because often we'll talk with people who object to the person of Jesus or do gospels, programs and that kind of thing. But this hour, we're talking about raising Catholic kids, which really, I mean, if you wanted a world to flourish, that would be the one probably question you would answer for people. How can you make the next generation Catholic? How can you bring the next generation to Christ? So if you have questions in that regard, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Steve, we're going to go to Andrea now, down in San Antonio, Texas, watching on Facebook. Andrea, we're glad you're here with us. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, Si. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Andrea.
So my husband and I were two different denominations. I'm Catholic. He's Church of Christ. And he had recently expressed interest in joining the Catholic Church because he thought, well, it would be easier for our whole family. Now, what we do, we're on the same page. We agree. We got rid of cable. We only let our kids watch certain things. Now, with all the things that came down from the pike with Disney and everything, we had already been pre-screening everything that we were letting our kids watch. But when we tell some of our other parent friends this, sometimes they don't agree with us. You know, sometimes it's there's a little bit of, like, tension about, you know, like, well, you know, like some of them will tell me, like, well, you're sheltering them from the real world, and when they get out there, they're not going to know how to handle it. You know, they're not going to know how to navigate it. Well, our question is, how do we navigate those objections? Like, how
I know right where you're coming from, because we homeschooled our kids, Andrea, and we got that all the time. You're sheltering your kids. You're protecting them. You're darn right I am. Yeah. I am sheltering them. If I plant a plant, say I want to grow an oak tree in my yard, and I plant the acorn, and it's this big. It's only this big now. I'm going to cover that thing. I don't want the lawnmower to hit it. I don't want the deer to eat it. I'm going to protect that tree, that little tiny thing. Now, when it gets big enough, then it can protect itself. But when it's the first year or two or three, you darn well you have to protect that tree or it's going to be eaten alive. So kids are the same way. Kids need to be protected from these kind of things. But you think of it like a horse in a corral. You don't let the horse just run crazy. You keep the horse in a certain area, and then you can maybe expand it over time. I told my kids, raising you is form and freedom. I'm going to give you the form. It's like a corral. You have the freedom to move around in there. When you show me you have the responsibility to handle that responsibility, I'll make the form bigger. I will let you do things more and more as you're mature and responsible to be able to handle it. And the same thing is with kids. Culture on television today is a horrible thing for kids. Kids are being introduced to LGBT. They're being introduced to the abortion issues in ways that we don't want them to be. Get rid of the television. I can't emphasize that enough. And you be the main influence in your kid's life. And don't worry what the neighbors say. Don't worry. They're going to have their own results 20 years from now. And you may have the last laugh because you didn't take their advice and you were careful with your kids and you raised them correctly and you protected them. Remember that Paul says bad company corrupts good morals. That's not only dealing with the friends your kids are with, but what your kids are being entertained by. Bad company, bad television, bad everything will corrupt your kids. And I have to protect my kids. And I did, but I also exposed them to things under my care and love and protection so that they could understand and see what was going out in the world. But like I taken my daughter to that rock concert. I mean, I would never show my kids pornography. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. But to show your kids how the world functions and say, do you want to live like that? Do you want to do this? This is our club. We have a special club. You are so lucky to be a part of this club. And we're going to love each other. We're going to have fun together. We're going to be Christian together. And of course, people are going to say, you never mentioned once in your show about going to Mass or reading the Bible or praying the rosary. Those are all important for a family. I don't mention those because that's assumed. That is just, that's what everybody says about raising a Catholic family. I'm assuming that you already know that you make the whole sacramental life. But again, kids aren't going to understand sacraments unless the parents are excited about them. And because the parents are teaching the kids about it. If you send them off to the class at church, they're not going to understand the sacraments. Not as like if mom and dad are excited about the sacraments and you talk about them and you explain them and that the sacraments are a big pipeline from heaven where grace comes flowing into our lives. And then get the kids excited about those things. But if kids will love what their parents love. If their parents love sports and potato chips and beer all the time on the couch, that's what the kids are going to love. If parents love the Lord and they love the family and they love art and science and beauty and music and the Mass, that's what the kids are going to love too.
What do you think, Andrea?
Well, I think it's wonderful. We're trying our best to do that. It's sure. Just that... you know, I like I said, we have so many different like people bombarding us saying that we're in a way we're being bigoted because we don't want to allow our children that exposure to, you know, like LGBTQ and too soon because my children, my oldest is 5, my youngest is 19, 20 months now. And so they are under our protective umbrella right now. But when they go to school, which is going to be this fall, my two oldest, there's no way that we can really protect them. They're going to go to, they're going to go to a private school.
Yes, there is. You are the primary teacher. And every night, if I had my kids, we were homeschooled. But if my kids went to a school, whether it was Catholic or public or whatever it is, we would have dinner together. The television would be gone. We'd have dinner together, and I'd want to know, tell us about your day today and discuss it and find out what they're teaching your kids and then get involved in the school and go to the school and get others and go protest what they're doing in the school or pull your kids out and homeschool them or find a better Catholic school. And there you are the primary teacher. And in the evenings, you have them to yourself. Find out what they're learning in the school. Tell them where the school is wrong. Don't let them think that the school is right and that you're an idiot and you don't know anything. It's the other way around. I'm your parent. I'm a Christian. I know these things. I'm sending you to school so they can teach you 2 + 2 = 4, but I don't want them teaching you morals. You know, in schools today, they're asking kids, do you want to be a boy or do you want to be a girl? This is the most ridiculous. Of course I want to protect my kids from the LGBT and drag queen stuff going on. I want to protect them. And I did it by exposing my kids to it and showing them why it was wrong, why it was contrary to nature, why animals don't do that, because God made male and female. And we don't have a choice whether we're going to be a man or a woman. I get trouble for saying that, but I don't care. This is the way I raised my kids, and now my kids are raising my grandkids that way. And you should see the essays my grandkids are writing to get into university. I've got two grandsons in university now, Wyoming Catholic and Ave Maria in Florida. And you should see the essays they're writing on what masculinity is. One wrote a whole essay on masculinity, which gave him a full scholarship because he talked about masculinity and femininity and how God made us. This is what I want my kids to know. I don't want them to fall for all of this stuff in the culture today. And if I have to protect them from it, I will. But I'd rather expose them in a very careful way so that they learn why it's wrong and why the Catholic position is correct. And to be proud of being Catholic. Don't care what the rest of the people say. You know, we are a subculture now. We are becoming a despised subculture. We are now countercultural. We can no longer, as Catholics, be flowing in the mainstream flow of America. We have to turn around and swim upstream. And kids love that kind of thing. Get your kids to be rebels, too, against the culture of death.
Andrea, I sympathize with you with the, I mean, it's ironic, I think, Steve, and Andrea, I'll ask you what you think about this, but it's, there's this ugly irony of, you know, the public school has the rainbow flag and the no sex bathrooms and the whoever knows what the heck they're teaching. And then people say to people like Andrea, yeah, you're indoctrinating your children when you're homeschooling them. Wait, really? We're the ones indoctrinating them. We're the ones. I see that as just, I you almost have to have no sense of irony for, the, you know, what's being done in many public schools. I mean, I am in California, so it may be extreme. It's not like in other places. But then people say to you, Andrea, who are trying to protect your children, oh, well, you're being too protective of them. Well, obviously, there's a large number of people, many of them publicly funded, who are trying to deceive your children.
And I say the same thing. We started homeschooling our kids in the late 70s when it was illegal in Michigan, and we got rid of the television. Can you imagine what my family and what our friends said to us? You're going to destroy your kids. They're going to be social misfits. We're homeschooling and got rid of the television. And yet now they look at our four kids and they said, boy, did you guys ever make the right decision? Because there's many of them have left and done other things. My kids are all still right in love with Jesus and raising kids the same. So, you know, I was countercultural. I bucked the system. I swam upstream even back in the late 70s and 80s with my wife. We did this together as a team. And we were criticized every day by our family members. You're destroying your kids. You're stupid for doing this. How can you do this to your kids? You're going to ruin their lives. Our kids went through university with 4.0, and they're the most socialized kids ever. Don't listen to what the world tells you. Don't listen to what the skeptic tells you. You raise your kids for Jesus Christ, and you do it, and you'll be happy in the end.
Andrea, if you'd like a copy of Jimmy's book, The Words of Eternal Life, I'd just like to give it to you. I mean, it doesn't sound like you are in desperate need of instruction or anything. I just think it's a nice book to have around, and hopefully the kids will pick it up sometime. Just hang on the line, and we'll send it to you. I have to say, Steve, when I listen to you, I wonder how much your Protestant upbringing prepared you to be countercultural in a way that our Catholic upbringing sometimes doesn't. And I'm not trying to insult Catholics, but we do need our backbone stiffened sometimes to say, no, I'm just not doing that. I'm not going along with that in regard to my children.
But there's a lot of Protestants who don't. There's a lot of evangelicals who don't do that. They're falling for the LGBT stuff fast as anybody else. I know also Catholic families who raised their kids this way because they had the sacraments. They had the whole cultural tradition of raising kids different than the world. So I think maybe I was in a evangelical culture in my little circle that was kind of that way. Al Cresta and a bunch of us were friends. But I know also there's a whole lot of Catholics doing the same thing, and they don't have a Protestant background to help them do it. It's really a matter of a husband and a wife sitting down and saying, how are we going to raise our family? What are we? What primarily are we? We are Catholics.
Right.
We are Christians. What is the world? It's secular. It's pagan. How are we going to raise our family to be different than what's out there? And then you start with a game plan and you actually work the plan. It's no different than anything else. If you're going to be successful, you have to work at it and you have to plan and you have to stay up late at night discussing it and thinking about it, taking notes. How am I going to... And it works.
Steve Ray, I'm so grateful. Find out all about him at CatholicConvert.com.